So today we are going to jump right back into our series, The Miracle Worker. And in today's message, we're going to see Jesus perform two different miracles. And we're going to see that these two individuals, that Jesus is going to meet their needs, he is going to be responding to some people that are dealing with some hopeless and helpless situations. So if you are someone who has ever been in an experience or ever had something going on in your life where you just felt completely helpless, or you just felt that all hope was gone, then this message is for you today to remind you that Jesus Christ is our only hope. And that even through the hopeless times, even when we feel helpless, you can put your hope in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to see in today's text. So if you'd like to turn with me, I'm going to be in Mark chapter 5. And we're going to be in verses 21 to 43. So that's Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. And there is a parallel account in Luke's gospel, if you'd ever like to move forward and do some further studying, in Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56. So the text says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.' While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?' As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.' And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, 'Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumai,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat." So in this text of scripture, we see that there are these two individuals. We have Jairus, and we have this woman with a health issue, and both of them are at a place of desperation. They're in a place where they just feel completely hopeless. They're out of their control, out of their element. They are helpless people. But they turn to Jesus in this moment. And we see what Jesus is able to accomplish in their lives. But one of the things that I just want to draw your immediate attention to in this text is Jesus is not too busy for you. See, Christ's love and His mercy is wide and available to anyone who seeks after it. So no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you have done in your past, Jesus is making Himself available. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus isn't busy. Jesus is busy doing a lot of things. But there's a difference between Jesus being busy and Jesus being too busy for you. And Jesus reveals in this text that though He has a lot of ministry concerns going on, though there are multitudes and crowds forming around Him, Jesus is still able to meet your needs, and He is willing to make Himself available to those who seek Him. Because when we see in this text, Jesus had just crossed over the Sea of Galilee in a boat, it says. Right? And if you remember the last message that we had in this series, Jesus had just gone to the east side in a boat to the Galilean side, or I'm sorry, to the Gentile side. And when Jesus went there, He performed the casting of the demons out, the legion. And all the Gentiles, they wanted Him out because they were afraid of Him. So then they literally transitioned back across the Sea of Galilee, and this is taking right after that account. So right after Jesus just cast all the legion of demons, He's coming back to this other side. And as soon as He gets off the boat, it says, this multitude is already surrounding Him again, right? So Jesus, He just performed this great miracle. He's traveling across the Sea of Galilee, and then as soon as He gets back, He's surrounded by people. But even though all of this busyness, all of these crowds, all of these ministry concerns, there's this man, Jairus, who throughout the crowd, he comes to Jesus, he falls at His feet, and he says, Lord, I need You, I need Your help. Now this is kind of big for Jairus because it says in the text that he was a ruler of the synagogue. So that means he was one of the people that kind of organized how all of the worship services would go in the synagogue. He would make sure that all of that is worked out. And if we know, a lot of these religious leaders that were Jewish, they rejected Jesus. They hated Him. They thought He was speaking blasphemy. So for this ruler of a synagogue to see Jesus in the midst of this crowd, and then he runs to Jesus and he falls at His feet, that's very risky for him socially. But he goes and he says, Jesus, help me, go to my house, heal my daughter because she is dying. And then in the text we see that she is 12 years old, and then Luke adds that it's his only child. So Jairus is desperate, he's helpless, and he's saying, Lord, I need You to come and save my daughter. Now, when Jesus hears this, even though He has all these other ministry things going on, even though there's the crowd around, Jesus hears him and agrees to go with him. So then we see in the story then that Jesus is willing, He's not too busy for Jairus, and He says, I'm going to go with Jairus to his house to heal his daughter who's about to die. But then we see there's something that stops kind of the narrative, the story, and there's this woman who's introduced. And we see in the text then that Jesus, not only was He not too busy for Jairus, but He's also not too busy for a woman with a hemorrhage. See, in the text it describes this unnamed woman. And this unnamed woman, we see that she is suffering from most likely a menstrual hemorrhaging, which lasted for 12 years, it says. So that means that the whole lifespan of this daughter that Jairus is talking about, the 12-year-old girl that's about to die, that whole span of her life, this other woman has been suffering. She has been continuously bleeding, and it says that she has gone to multiple doctors, multiple physicians, but no one was able to help her. In fact, actually going to these doctors, for some reason, she actually was getting worse. And she lost all of her wealth. She put all of her money into these doctors, hoping that they could heal her. So we see then, as Jairus and Jesus, they are going on this mission. They're going, they're traveling, they're going to save this daughter. And then this woman hears about Jesus coming. She sees Him coming. And throughout the crowd, she fights through the crowd. And she says, if I can just touch His garment, if I can just grasp the hem of His garment, I could be healed. If I could just get that close to Him. So this woman, she goes out, she fights through the crowd, sees Jesus, and she falls down and she grabs some of His clothes. Now, as soon as this woman does this, she's immediately healed. And now she recognizes who Jesus is. Now we got to remember the faith of this woman here. So think about all of the different barriers that she is breaking right now. First off, she has this impurity, which would make her actually ceremonially unclean, like a leper. Which if she were to sit on furniture, then that furniture would become unclean. If she were to touch you, she would make you unclean. So not only is she poor, not only do we not know her name, but she is going through this crowd, touching all these people, trying to get through it just to get to Jesus, and then she touches Jesus' clothes. So this is some big demonstration of faith here, that she's willing to put herself out there and she goes and touches Jesus. But instead of making Jesus unclean, it shows that she's immediately healed. Now when she does this, she recognizes who Jesus is, and it says that she starts to be fearful or tremble. And maybe that she's even trying to hide back into the crowd and maybe not let Jesus know who just did that. But Jesus is aware of what's going on. He recognizes that someone has just touched him. They are demonstrating their faith in him, and that he willingly allows them to be healed. He knows their faith. See, some people will think maybe she just got a secret miracle or stole a miracle from Jesus because she grabbed his cloak, right? And then she just is able to be healed. No, Jesus knows what's going on. He recognizes there's this woman who is trying to be healed, and as soon as he recognizes it, he permits it and he heals her. But as soon as he says it, he says, "Who touched me?" Now the disciples, they're like, we're literally getting bumped in left and right, this huge crowd that just swarmed us from the boat all the way since we've been going to Jairus' house, and you're asking, "Who touched you?" But they didn't recognize that there is a moment to come to Jesus here. There is a person who is placing their faith. They're changing their life today, and they just don't see what's happening. So then Jesus, he turns around. He starts to look in the crowd as he's asking this. And then the woman, knowing who she is, she then falls at his feet like Jairus. See how we see the parallels, the 12. We see the falling at the feet here. She falls at the feet of Jesus and she explains everything that was going on. So she probably says how she has just been selling everything she had. She's gone to all these different doctors, all these different physicians, but no one has helped me. So when Jesus hears this, not only did he allow her to be healed, and don't forget, remember the urgent mission that's going on. There's this daughter that's about to die. So instead of just saying, "You're healed," and move, it says, he stops. He goes to her. He looks at her. And he starts to hear her out, hear her story. And then he offers her some counsel. And he calls her daughter. Now this is the only time that this word is used here by Jesus. He says, "Daughter." He says, "Go in peace, for you have been made well," or "you have been made whole." So Jesus is encouraging and saying, you are completely healed and it's not coming back. And that's what Jesus says to her. So he takes this time to be with this woman. Not only does he heal her, he listens to her, and then he counsels and encourages her, and then sends her on her way whole. So we see very clearly then that Jesus was not too busy for Jairus, but then he's also not too busy for a woman who is unnamed, who is poor, who is unclean, who everybody else in society would reject. So even the most rich person, or even the most poor person, we see that Jesus takes time to be with them. And I think this is a wonderful reminder for us out of Hebrews 4:16. Because Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." So what this is saying is this, is if you are in Christ because of what Jesus Christ did for you, whenever you come to God, you can actually come to the throne of grace boldly. You can have confidence knowing that whenever I go to the Lord, He is going to hear me. I can give Him my thoughts, my concerns, my cares, my worries, my petitions. I can give all of that to Him, and I can do it boldly. And it says, anytime that we are in a time of help or in a time of need. So if you need something, if you are desiring help, if you feel helpless or hopeless, we are reminded to come boldly to Christ, to come boldly to God. Because He's not too busy for you. See, not only do we see that Jesus is not too busy for each and every one of us, But I think that we recognize in this text that our hope is in Christ alone. Just think about your own life for a second. Where have you placed your hope? The way that you can recognize where you have placed your hope is, what are you spending most of your time on? What do you value with your money? What are you regularly talking about when you're talking to your friends and your family? See, your life reveals what your hope is in. But we as Christians are reminded time and time again throughout Scripture that our hope is in Christ alone. See, Jairus and this woman, they had a come to Jesus moment, literally. They came to the point where they were at the end of themselves. They were helpless, they were hopeless, and they recognized the only thing that could get them through it was Jesus. See, Jairus, he was well-renowned. He was the ruler of a synagogue. He was probably very wealthy. But here's the thing. His wealth could not save his daughter. Then we have this woman who was paying all of this money and seeking all of these different physicians. But here's the thing. Medicine could not heal her. See, our wealth cannot be our hope. Our jobs cannot be our hope. Our relationships cannot be our hope. Washington, D.C. cannot be our hope. Whenever you go through difficult seasons in your life, how do you fare? Are you able to endure? Or do you give up all hope? Do you feel helpless? Because I think that it all reveals the fact of what your hope is in. See, if your hope is in Christ, you can know that it will never waver because you have built your foundation on the rock. But if you're building your house on something that is other than the rock of Jesus Christ, you're going to waver with the seasons. You're going to get weak. You're going to have anxiety and stress. But we are reminded, do not seek out the world, because the world cannot meet your needs. Christ is the one who can meet every single one of your needs. And that's exactly what Jairus and this woman recognized. They recognized Christ is our only hope. He is the good physician. See, there's a show that Casey and I have started watching. It's called The Good Doctor. Some of you maybe have watched it. It's about a doctor, a young doctor who is on the spectrum, and he's basically going to become a surgeon, and there's all this stuff going on whether or not he'd be good enough to do it, but he is a good surgeon, he's a good doctor. But what makes the show so good and so, like, makes you just want to come back each week is the drama with it. But what's the drama when it comes to these doctor shows? Is that there's limitations, right? There's hard decisions that they have to make because sometimes they can't do a miracle, right? Sometimes they have to make the hard choice. They have to amputate the leg. Or sometimes not everyone's going to live. But what's so cool is when we have this show about the good doctor, we have a reminder in Scripture that we have a good doctor. We have the good physician who never runs out of options. He's always on top of it. He always can make all things good. We talked about last week how he makes all things new. So we know because of Jesus Christ, we always have hope, and we always can know that we are never going to be in a situation that we are in despair of. Because of Jesus Christ, you have hope. But he has to be your only hope. Christ is our only hope. And that's what we see then in this text. But then after Jesus sends this woman away, the story's obviously not over, right? She was actually the delay of the initial story. So the woman, she goes, she's made whole because of Jesus Christ. And now we have this man, Jairus. And I just think that Jairus, his faith is commendable here. Just think about this. Your one and only child, your little girl, is literally dying. She's at death's door. And literally Jesus delays, talks to a woman, heals her. He's stopping, discussing things with her. And then, not only that, but during this time, some of the people from Jairus' house come to Jairus and say, your daughter, she died. While Jesus was talking to this woman and healing her, your daughter died. Think about that. Think how commendable that faith is. That he didn't, there's no indication in this text that says that Jairus started to yell or to question or to rush Jesus and say, don't worry about that woman, come on, my daughter, what I asked you first. We don't see that in Jairus. But think how his heart must have just sank in his chest. Whenever he hears that he had hope with Jesus, but then the daughter died. So there's nothing more hopeless for us in our situation if someone dies, right? That's basically as extreme as it gets. So the little girl is dead, and Jairus gets this news, and Jesus then gives these comforting words here where he says that you do not need to be afraid, but believe. Now, this word, the believe or continue to believe, is actually known as the present tense imperative in the Greek. Now, what that means is this. It means to continue to believe. Do not stop believing. So this is something that you continue to do. And he says, so he's saying, stop fearing and continue believing. See, he's saying, Jairus, you started out great. As soon as you saw me get off the boat, you ran to me, you humbled yourself, you fell on the ground, you begged me earnestly, and I responded to you. I said, I'm going to help you. But then, when there's these other people coming now, and there's this woman who's distracting and delaying, and now you're telling me, there's these people telling me that my daughter is dead, I'm starting to get these emotions. I'm starting to have some doubts, maybe. Jesus then says, he says, stop fearing. Continue believing. You started out great, but keep on going. And that's what he's saying to Jairus in this text. So we seem to indicate then that Jairus hears this call, and then he goes. He did stop fearing. He continued to believe. And then Jesus takes some of his disciples. They go into this house. He says that this girl is not dead, but asleep. Now, the people in the house, they start to question and they mock Jesus and they're like, she's clearly dead. But the point Jesus is making is not that she didn't actually pass away. The fact is that when it comes to being in Christ, those who are asleep in Christ are nothing but that, being asleep, because we know that we will all live and rise in Jesus Christ. And that's what he's pointing out here. He's saying, because of me, I am the resurrection and the life. So for those who are in me, they're just sleeping. And I'm going to wake them up. But these people, they were mocking him. They didn't buy into it. So he sends them away. And then just him, some of the disciples, and the parents go into the room. Then he calls the little girl and he says, little girl, arise. And then she literally is raised from the dead by the power of Jesus Christ. She comes to life. And then he calls them then to feed her and to take care of her. So I think that we see the results of those who do exactly what Jesus says. So when we recognize Jesus is not too busy, we remember Christ is our only hope, but there are going to be seasons in your life where you're going to get fearful. You're going to get anxious. You're going to have things go wrong. But here's what Jesus is calling every single one of us to do. He says, stop being afraid. Stop being fearful. Stop being anxious. Stop worrying and continue to believe. Continue to believe. Because that same present tense imperative that is used here is used in John 3:16. Where whosoever believes in him, continues to believe in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what Jesus is demonstrating here in this text. He's saying, if you continue to have that confidence in me, you shall not perish. Because Jesus has just demonstrated in the last couple chapters of Mark that he has victory over danger with the storms traveling in the boat. He had victory over the legion of demons. He has victory over the disease that doctors can't cure. And he has victory over death. And that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Christ is victorious in every aspect of our lives. Jesus came, lived the perfect life, died on the cross for your sins, and then he rose again on the third day. And that guarantees that anyone who turns from their sin and trusts in him has eternal life. You have the victory over all of these different things in our world. You are victorious if you are in Christ. But we have to remember that we have to seek him out every day. We need to believe in him. Don't let the things of this world get you down, because Christ is victorious and Christ is our only hope. And when we follow him, when we trust in him, we see what he can do in our lives, because in these two people's lives, we see that a woman is made whole and restored. And we see a dad is now with his little girl again, happy and being able to take care of her. So let us trust in Christ. Let us continue in the race. Let us not dwindle. Let us not regress. If you have trusted in the gospel, keep going. Keep turning to Christ every day, every morning when you wake up. Remember Christ, his sacrifice, and his victory in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to come to your word. And Father, I pray that those who are here today, that they would remember that you love them, that you care for them, that Jesus is not too busy for any of us, that if we have a care or a worry or a concern, that we can turn to you, we can come to the throne of grace boldly, and that we know that ultimately Christ is our only hope. He is the rock. He is our foundation. And that if we continue to stop fearing and continue to believe in you, we will have victory in all seasons of our lives. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.